97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. Good afternoon. Looking like a great weekend for golf and all kinds of other things. Brad Young joins us, 97.1 Chief Legal Analyst. He's a partner with Harris Young and Kaiser. How are you, sir?
Heidi, it's great to talk to you again. It's been a while, and yes. It's always a pleasure.
And you always sound so clear when you come in, just like clear as a bell. I don't know where you are, but you sound especially clear.
Well, you know, I have to sound this good when I'm making arguments to judges.
Yeah, that's true. It's always good to be clear when you're doing that. All right, let's talk about Lindsey Clancy. Were the women still out there today with the pink on?
Yes, they were. They were still out there. And I'm not sure what they're going to achieve, but yeah, they're still there.
You know, it's so tough for me because on the one hand, I have not had children, but I do understand people can have horrible thoughts and a lot of problems mentally after children. It does happen. You can't say it doesn't. But, you know, you don't just get to kill your three kids and then wait till your husband leaves. I mean, that certainly speaks to planning. I've not been able to see much of this trial. I'm working, of course. So tell me what I'm missing.
Well, you're not missing a whole lot here, Heidi, but let me break some of it down for you. The defense rested today, so they're done. They've done their case, and it's really now centered on that one solitary question. Is she criminally responsible when she killed her three kids back in 2023? The defense isn't even disputing that she killed her own kids. The defense says she was suffering from postpartum psychosis, worsened by sleep loss and medication problems, and an underlying psychiatric condition. But listen, as you just mentioned a second ago, I think it's a very uphill battle for Lindsey Clancy to get any relief here, because if you look at the evidence put on by Massachusetts here, it showed that Clancy planned it.
Yep.
It also showed that she created time alone with the children by sending her husband out. She actually checked, there was evidence. She checked how long those errands would take. She moved deliberately through the house. And then she tried afterwards to make the deaths look like the product of some sort of mental collapse. So literally what the evidence put forward is I think would destroy this argument in any state. But here's the one wild card. We're in deep blue, progressive, socialist Massachusetts, all right?
Yep.
And in this state, the question's going to be, does the jury drink their own Kool-Aid in Massachusetts and say, women are always right, they're always the victims, you can never question a woman, she's always the victim. If they buy that kind of malarkey, you know, women shouldn't be trusted any more than men when it comes to defendants on trial. Justice is blind. Doesn't matter what your gender is. But I just wonder what will the jury do given the jury pool for Massachusetts?
Should be fascinating. We're speaking with Brad Young, 97.1 Chief Legal Analyst. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon. Yeah, that's crazy. As you mentioned, all the things that she did to plan this out, and then she jumps out of a second story window. Oh, for heaven's sake, who dies doing that?
Nobody. You know, there was a case recently here in the St. Louis area where a person claimed they tried to commit suicide, and it was a defense to a case, and they took Valium. Well, anybody that knows anything about Valium knows that you could eat a bottle of this stuff. It's going to hurt you badly, but it gets excreted by the urine, and typically you don't die from it. So yeah, this jumping out of a second story window to me is just another element to show that she's developing evidence that she's nuts, but isn't really evidence of anything other than her planning.
Now, if Lindsey Clancy really killed her children intentionally, which obviously she killed them intentionally at that time, and it was nothing other than her killing them intentionally, what would the motive be for just getting rid of all of her kids? She was just overwhelmed. She was just tired of the burden. Has the prosecution presented any evidence to prove that she planned it and she was going to benefit in some way from this?
You know, I haven't seen that. I know what I would have argued had I been the prosecutor. I mean, if you look at her, she's attractive. If you look at her, she's also very active in social media. And I would make the argument, had I been a prosecutor in this case, that she was doing it to unbundle herself from her children so that she could be a media star or a social media influencer full time. Now, I don't see that the prosecution made that argument, but that would have been the argument that I made.
Yeah, and then you just throw it out there, and the jury can either believe that or not believe it, right? That's the whole point.
Right, but your question is very relevant here, because from the prosecution standpoint, you know the jury is going to be asking that question. And if you don't provide a satisfactory answer to why she would do it, motive is always important. Anyone that's ever watched Murder, She Wrote knows the motive is important, right? So, or Law and Order, SVU, you got to get the motive down. So if they did not address it in the case, I think that gives a slight advantage to Clancy.
Boy, that could be crazy, wouldn't it? If the prosecution didn't say, not only do we not believe she's crazy, she was going to benefit from the death of all of her children by doing this and was going to benefit in this way. And they have not done that. I would have thought they would have presented that evidence. That is interesting that they have not. And I hope that's not what screws them up.
Yeah. And listen, I didn't read through all the trial transcripts. So there may have been some argument by the prosecution, but I can tell you in the news stories that I've been reading, I haven't seen any statement regarding motive. Mm-hmm. And if the prosecution did not address it, that's a big gaping hole in their case.
I think so. Now, what about her marriage? Do we know much about her marriage? Her husband, I guess, has since moved on, gotten remarried, left town. Do we know anything about the state of their marriage at this time? Of course, it's tough having three little kids. That puts a strain on anybody's marriage, three little kids that young. But beyond that, was there an issue that we didn't or needed to know about or heard about?
Well, yeah. The only thing that I know for certain is that her husband is gone. Beyond that, I didn't see anything in the reported news stories about what she's currently doing from a dating perspective.
No, but I mean, as far as their marriage, when they were married, was there a problem in their marriage that she wanted to get out of their marriage? Do we know anything about that? Was that presented at trial that we know of?
Not that I know of, no. Yeah. In fact, as I was reading several stories earlier today about it, I saw no documented marital problems or relationship conflicts at all. Now, I will tell you that during the murder trial, her ex-husband, Patrick, testified that their marriage was, he used the word, quote, wonderful, unquote, and that they built a loving family together. And from his testimony, which I think actually helps his ex-wife, his testimony was that there was a severe, rapidly deteriorating mental health crisis in the family focused on Lindsay Clancy. And that was the problem, not any marital discord. Now, is that true or not? Don't know. I do know the prosecution did not put up any rebuttal evidence to that. So that's what the jury is going to have to consider.
And once again, if that was true and her mental health was rapidly deteriorating, why wasn't something drastic done? Like she was never left alone with the children or something like that. We all remember who was the woman years ago, put all her kids in the bathtub, drowned them all. I mean, keep an eye. If there's a problem with the woman, and we're not saying there wasn't, I'm not a doctor, I can't address that. But if there was really that severe a problem, you have somebody there 24 hours a day if you have to. You don't leave her alone with the kids.
That's true. And also, if there was this rapidly deteriorating mental health crisis in the home, then how was it that she was able then to not only plan the murders, not only time out the murders, not only time out how long her husband would be gone, how is it that she was then able to create a cover story afterwards? I mean, all of that takes a cognitive ability to deceive. And if one is in a mental health crisis, they're not calculating in terms of how to deceive. They're acting out of that mental illness. And so all of her actions would go to, would be testimony and evidence against both her testimony and her husband's because of the level of planning here.
That's right. And not only that, it takes, we're not even going to get into how long it takes to strangle somebody. And we're not going to talk about that. We're not doing that. Brad Young, great talking to you again. Appreciate you joining me on the Mark Reardon Show.
My pleasure.
Thanks. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon.